Hello. Today I'm speaking with Simine Farhunde, who produces Labor at the Crossroads, a labor video show. Simine, what projects have you been working on?
Over the years, I've worked on many projects, mostly projects that deal with alternative media. It's been with Paper Tiger Television and Deep Dish TV, and in the past 6 or 7 years also with Labor at the Crossroads. All of these projects have been video and television that tries to fill the void that is there on mainstream media of alternative voices, voices with different opinions, people of color, workers, women. So all of those projects have been filling that void. And the project I've been working on mainly in the past years is called Labor at the Crossroads, and it's about bringing the voices and the experiences of working people onto television. In New York City, the program airs on Channel 75, CUNY TV, and on Manhattan Neighborhood Network, Channel 34. And believe it or not, it's the only program about labor on, on the airwaves in New York City broadcast.
What are the goals and strategies you use to realize the projects you work on?
The goal of the program is really to talk about what are workers' rights, to talk about how can we organize around different issues, as be they work issues, be they environmental, be they racism. We're all workers. Most of us work in some capacity, and so we're affected by many of those things. So the goal of the program is to really inform and to activate, to make people get the knowledge, get the information, and to empower them to do, you know, to do something about it. So that's the goal of the program.
Who are the people you work with to make those projects happen?
In the beginning, you know, about 6, 7 years ago when I started with Labor at the Crossroads, I was working a lot with students from City University of New York who are also often from working class backgrounds. Now I don't work as much with them, but I do work with the labor community and with activists and with media activists as well. And I have a board also comprised of progressive unionists and rank and file. And also in the past 6 years, I've been leading and teaching a class in video production and media production to union members and working New Yorkers. And so they also work with me. And the way I work is, you know, I look at what aspects around work issues the media leaves out. Actually, most of the time they leave things out. So there's tons of topics that we can cover. And the program is working on a very small budget, so I can't, you know, cover everything. But for instance, in the past few months, I've been doing several programs on the effects of 9/11 on working people. So anyway, that's how we work.
What effect has your projects had on the people you work with and the people who view your videos?
Yeah, at times people call in, which is really exciting when they just saw the show, and that's really great when that happens. Often it is people who, you know, happen to be watching and get information that they just didn't know about, so they want to know more and they call. But often the tapes also get used by activists or unionists in union halls or in schools, you know, or screening rooms. And we try to create a discussion and dialogue around the topic so that we can, together with the audience, figure out ways to combat a situation or to inform others. For instance, around the workfare and welfare issue, we did 2 shows, 2 half-an-hour programs, and in one of the screenings we did, we invited web workers, you know, people who had been dropped off the regular welfare and had to work for their welfare check. So we brought them in and talked about what, you know, are the issues around that. You know, we talked about how it affects people who fell off the welfare rolls and are now working for their welfare check, and how that also affects people who are actually working with their regular checks. Because it happened in New York, for instance, a lot of sanitation workers, some of them got laid off, and sanitation workers had a very well paid job with Social Security and benefits. The jobs that were, the people that were fired, those positions were filled by people who were on the welfare. For their checks, they had to suddenly work, and without benefits and without the same paycheck. So it was something to, you know, it's an issue that we really needed to discuss. So, you know, this is an example of how the tapes get used. They get used to create dialogue around a certain issue. Another issue, for example, was around adjuncts organizing in the university, basically recognizing that they're the sweatshop workers of universities in the U.S. And so we did a tape about that, and it was being used to create dialogue and create discussion around that issue.
Who or what projects inspire you?
Certainly projects that get people active are really inspiring. For instance, recently, friends of mine finished a one-hour project called A Day's Work, A Day's Pay. It's a video, and it's following three web workers, again, work experience program workers who are welfare recipients. It's following three of them for 3 years and showing what their lives are like and who they are. And when the tape was premiered a few weeks ago, it was fabulous to see lots of people in the room watching it and, you know, having dialogue afterwards. I mean, it's really about dialogue and thinking. And I think projects that make people active and make people stand up for their rights and for justice really are exciting. You know, at the same time, projects that make people be creative and help them be creative in their lives are very exciting to me. So, you know, it's a combination of things that I look at and that excite me and inspire.
What is the status of labor unions today in the United States? How much impact do they have on workers' lives and the economy in general?
Well, that's a big question. I think that a lot of the people in the U.S. do not know enough about labor unions and the potential of what labor unions can do. A lot of people do not recognize that unions are the people that brought us the weekend, you know, that brought us the 40-hour week, work week, and other things, benefits, you know, healthcare, social security, and so forth. People aren't aware that, you know, battles that people fought in this country with their own blood led to those kind of things that we have today. And people don't realize that it's very easy to also lose those benefits, and we are seeing that already. So I think in the U.S., people do not know enough about unions. On the other hand, some people are also have grievances towards unions because, you know, the unions aren't always progressive. They haven't been always there when they need to support people. There have been some progressive unions. There have been some reactionary unions. There has been racism within unions. You know, there has been sexism within unions. So it's not all great. You know, it's something similar in some ways to our democracy. If people aren't active in the union will just be the leadership. Similar to in our democracy, if we're not active in it, you know, it's just the leadership and they do whatever they want. So it's a mixed bag, the unions. And I think the unions that are successful in this country are those who are not afraid of their rank and file, taking action and being active, and those unions that are progressive and are working and getting something done for workers, I think are those that are not shying away from educating their rank and file, you know, are not afraid of continuing to organize, because that's what the strength of the unions is, I think. So, you know, I think it's a place where there's a lot of potential for changing and for keeping, you know, keeping people active. It's also a place, the union, that can be very vital and important in our larger democracy, because a union, for instance, like DC-37, has a membership of 150,000 people in New York City alone. And that's a big group. And that's a big group that the union gets dues from, that the union sends their newsletter to, that the union has access to whenever they want to. But they don't use them as much, you know, because often they feel that it's better to keep rank and file inactive. But if the rank and file are active, the potential, think about it, of 150,000 people being active is great, you know.
What projects have unions undertaken that have been successful recently?
You know, one of the projects that comes to mind is the movement towards recognizing the immigrant workers and undocumented workers in this country. And so the movement to have amnesty for immigrants has been something that unions have been working on. Of course, 9/11 and the whole change in this country towards, well, this whole feeling of suspicion towards immigrants has arisen to because of 9/11, and that's also affected this movement that was happening. And I hope that it'll go back to that. But still, I think that some consciousness has been raised for the issue around immigrant workers. And the other area that I think unions are slowly, and some unions like Unite, have been active around is to understand that just organizing union people in the U.S. isn't even enough, because, you know, we cannot keep jobs in the U.S. It's not about that. It's an international issue. And it's really important for instance, especially garment workers in the U.S. to have solidarity with garment workers, let's say, in Mexico or Guatemala or Indonesia, because, you know, we've seen that jobs go offshore, you know, and there's no way of keeping them here. But if you have international work rules, laws, to keep wages up for workers internationally everywhere, then you can have a workforce that will live better, have better working conditions, and you won't have this situation where companies will close shop here and go somewhere else to just where they just can get cheaper labor. So one of the things that is really important, I think, is to understand that unionism is global and it's not just in the U.S. And I think unions have been slow at understanding this, but I think that they're coming to it, and I think we've seen that movement towards that in the past 10 years. And it needs more growth, but I hope it will.
What strategies have been successful in unions to counter the multinational movements of capital to, for example, Mexico and other third world countries in order to exploit the cheap labor and lesser environmental standards in those countries?
But one of the things that I think have helped is for unions in the U.S. to be supportive of unionism in other countries. Because before the 90s, before the 90s, I guess, a lot of times you had U.S. unions, the AFL-CIO, for instance, not supporting unionism in other countries, especially the CIO, was often more used by the CIA to infiltrate unionism in other countries. And that really was detrimental, I think, to unionism all around. And I think it's really important for the labor movement to give a hand to unionists elsewhere, like in Colombia, for instance, where union leaders have been killed left and right. Well, you know, progressive unionists in other countries are really important for workers there and here. And so I think that's really important to support unions in other countries. Other aspects are the necessity for unions to really be progressive, to really question themselves and reform the areas where they need to be more up-to-date in their policies, and to use their connection to the workers to educate them also about issues of race, issues of women's issues of, you know, issues that other workers in other countries have. So I think those two are definitely major.
What could a set of international labor standards make a difference?
I think so. I mean, I think one of the areas the unions, some progressive unions have been important is their understanding of the World Trade Organization and how the policies of the World Trade Organization's NAFTA and GATT affect workers. And so, yes, I think if unions organize around pushing better policies, international economic policies, that'll be very important. That'll benefit us all. And I think Some of the unions have been active. For instance, in Seattle, we saw some unions being active around this issue, and I think we need more of that. Often, and this is my criticism of unions, often unions sort of are like this very, they've become this kind of scared turtle that slowly takes out its head and looks out and, you know, wants to get active, but as soon as, you know, for instance, right now, it's like everyone, the majority, well, the general incentive or the general media question has been, oh, we have to be nationalistic, we have to be patriotic. And when the word patriotic comes in, then the unions quickly push in their, you know, the turtle pulls back its head and says, oh, we got to be patriotic. But, you know, first of all, it has to ask, what does patriotism mean? Does it have to mean, you know, being... does it have to mean being with the government no matter what? Or does it mean being with the people no matter what? And what does it mean to be with the people? Does it mean, you know, making sure that people have a good work condition, that they're safe, that they don't go to wars that aren't fought for, that are meaningless for them, you know? I mean, all these things, I mean, are areas where unions have to reform themselves to be more effective. But I forgot your question. What was your question? Am I answering? What am I answering? Am I going offshore?
We can focus on what criteria do you consult when you make a video? Like, what are the main ideas that influence your choice for what to focus on?
Well, I mean, again, the criteria I use is I think about what topics aren't discussed, and why aren't they discussed, and who does it benefit for them not to be discussed. And when I make a program, I think about how will the audience benefit from this information. You know, for instance, when I was doing the program about labor within prisons, I was very affected by the fact that union jobs were being lost and work was being lost by people on the outside because factories were going down the street where there was a prison, and you know, the prison industry was saying, oh, you know, bring your factory into our prison, you know, there's no thieves, nobody will walk off with the products, and you have a captive audience and so forth. And so I was thinking about that, but I was also thinking about, well, what was happening before in the prisons? And I was thinking about how education has been cut in prisons and how, you know, then these new jobs will replace education, and how these jobs are often not the kind of jobs that you'll necessarily be able to do when you get out of prison because the company's now in prison. So, you know, those kind of criteria are what I use. I mean, things that are absent in the mainstream media and that I think are really necessary to be known, you know, to the public.
What are 3 to 5 projects you would work on right now if somebody said, here's the money, here are the people, do what you want?
Well, I think there's so much need to be doing work around the effects of 9/11 and what this new future of ours will bring for working people, because I see that there's people of all walks are being affected by this, and this is something that can last into the future if we don't do something about it now. So I think, you know, undocumented workers. I would like to work with undocumented workers and immigrant workers and see how they're affected. I would like to work with women and how they're affected. I mean, I know that whenever a situation like this happens, whenever jobs are lost, the first to go are undocumented workers and women. So I would like to do something on that. I would like to do more on the university as a workplace and how it has become a sweatshop, you know, not just adjuncts, but TAs and even, you know, full-time professors. I'd like to look at that. I would like to look at Middle Easterners and how they're affected by this, and how our civil liberties are at in danger. And I would like to look at how the things that happen in the U.S. affect the globe so much, and how the situation right now has already, 4 months into it, affected the crisis that we're in, affected the world so much that those who are on the bottom are pushed more, you know, even more. And I don't know where else they will go. I'd like to look at the situation in Argentina and at how the workers there and the people there being pushed so much by the recession and by the IMF and the World Bank and what decisions their leaders have made, how they are coping with it, because they're coping in very creative ways. And I'd like to look at that, because I think, unfortunately, we're also looking at some of those ways in the future, the way it looks. If we are going this way, we are looking at some of those conditions, and we have to be as creative as possible. So I'd like to look at that. I'd like to do projects about how immigrant families, Arab American families, Middle Eastern families, Muslim families live. You know, I want to show how people live, you know, because I think a lot of the ignorance that exists is because the media has dumbed people down and doesn't give you enough information, and our school system has dumbed people down, so they don't know how to think, you know. And so I'd like to do projects around that. I'd like to do more on the web. If I had money, I would put our programs on the web in a really creative way. And I'd like to do projects that aren't just news programs, but I'd like to do fun narrative comedy projects that are about work issues, about vital issues, but in a fun way, you know, because news has this way of that it is, and that's fine. But I'd like to have actors and writers do creative projects around these really difficult issues, so that we can reach an audience that usually would turn it down because they're not used to watching things that are that take more than 2 minutes of attention span necessity, you know. So I'd like to, yeah, do all of those things.
Shamin, can you tell us where we can get more information about labor issues?
Yeah, there's quite a few places on the web that you can get information, and I'll just give you a few of them. One place is the International Federation of Chemical, Energy, Mine, and General Workers Unions. It's a really interesting site if you're interested in global movements around work. And it's www.icem.org. That's one place. Then there is LaborNet, which is also a place where you can get, you know, all sorts of other information about labor issues. Again, www.labornet.org. That can lead you to many other places on the net where work issues are discussed. Another place which is kind of interesting and fun is called it's the I don't know if you know about the Mike Leibel suit, but it's all about workers who stood up against McDonald's, and that's at www.mcspotlight.org. So macspotlight.org. Free Speech TV is a good place for all kinds of stuff, not just around unions, but around alternative views. That's www.freespeech.org. Yeah. Paper Tiger is always a good place where you can find stuff around alternative media and how to smash the mainstream media. And that's www.papertiger.org. And its sister organization, which is also really important, is Deep Dish TV, which is www.igc.org/deepdish/. Those are just a few places that you can go to, and they'll lead you to other really cool places.
Are there any other ways to get information about labor news?
Well, you can ask me by emailing me, and I can tell you more if or direct your inquiry. It's sfarkande at gc.cuny.edu. That is sfarkhonde at gc.cuny.edu. If you call me, or I mean, if you email me. Thanks.
Simi.
Thank you.
You're welcome.